We're coming around the Word of God this morning on a very important topic, characteristics of born-again Christians. We're looking at part two this morning. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you for the salvation that you provided to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't take that for granted, but we thank you for that with all our hearts in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, this morning we're looking at continuing on characteristics of born-again Christians. Last time I looked at the born-again experience in detail, and I talked about the fact that we become new creatures in Christ. In other words, there is a change and there has to be a change. If someone says, "I'm a Christian," there has to be evidence of change so that they're no longer walking according to the course of this world, the ways of the world, but there is evidence that they are indeed new on the inside. They've got new characteristics that are very clear that they are no longer what they used to be, which were sinners, people that walked according to the ways of the world and so on. And so we looked at the fact that we are new creatures when we're born again. Let's have a look at just a little bit. We won't go over a lot of what we looked at last time, but just a little bit. Have a look in John chapter 3. I just want to point out a couple of things from here in John chapter 3. And what Jesus said very clearly, John 3 verse 3, first of all, John 3 verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So the words "born again" clearly tells us that it's another birth. And he goes through and points out that there is the birth of the flesh. Obviously, every human being has gone through that first birth just to be here as a human being on the planet Earth. And he says that if you don't get born again, except a man be born again, he cannot. In other words, it's impossible to see the kingdom of God. And that's very strong wording, isn't it? He cannot see the kingdom of God. If you go down to verse 6, it says, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh." That's talking about the first birth, obviously. And then he says, "And that which is born of the Spirit," that's capital S, born of the Holy Ghost, born of the Spirit, "is spirit," little s. So we have God's spiritual nature now on the inside of us. His divine nature, because we've been born out of the Spirit of God. And you can see that that is the second birth. And Jesus, in verse 7, once again emphasizes, and notice what he says here in verse 7, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." He's not just talking to Nicodemus here. "Marvel not that I said unto thee," and to you singular, "ye," that is everyone, "must be born again." Ye plural, must be born again. And so once again, the word "must" should be seared into our hearts. "Must" means that there's no getting around it. There's no saying, "Well, I'm half saved," or "I'm half born again." You know, I've come to realise over the years that just because someone says, "I'm a Christian," it doesn't necessarily mean they really are. Okay? Just because someone says, "Oh yes, I'm a Christian, I haven't gone to church for 10 years, but I'm still a Christian," well, you know, there's a lot of problems with that. And the major thing is that if a person does not display the characteristics of a born-again Christian, that they are new creatures in Christ, then clearly there's problems with with that. If you have a look at 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, these are scriptures, by the way, that you should know. You should be able to explain to people. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. And the reason I say that, of course, is that if you're a born-again Christian, then you need to know about the born-again experience. You need to know what it's all about, and also how to bring others into that born-again experience. And 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, notice what it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new." So remember, we saw before that your spirit is born again. Your little man, your little S spirit is born again. And that's called that you become what the Bible says, a new man, a new creature. And the Bible also talks about the old man. Well, that's obviously talking about the old inner man, isn't it? So the old inner man is changed and becomes the new inner man on the inside. And here we see, once again, it talks about newness, and it says, if any man be in Christ, so that clearly means you're a Christian, he is a new creature. So if you say, I'm a Christian, but you're displaying all the characteristics of the world and you love the world, etc., etc., then the likelihood is that you're not really a Christian. Okay? Well, let's have a look at the first major characteristic, and there are six that I'm going to be going through in this series. The first major characteristic of a born-again Christian is no habitual sinning. In other words, sin becomes dead to you and you're dead to sin. Have a look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. Now, it's important to see that we're not earning our way to salvation, okay? And this is important to see because the Lord Jesus Christ paid for salvation. He shed his blood, the Bible tells us, and by his blood he has paid for our salvation. The Bible says that he purchased the church by his blood, and that's in Acts chapter 20, and other scriptures tell us about that. So we have been purchased, we have been bought with a price, and that purchasing we could not have done. It was only through the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did to get salvation. And so what we're saying, what we're talking about now, is not us trying to earn salvation. It is recognizing that we are new creatures in Christ, and there are characteristics. They might be a bit undeveloped in some people, but they're characteristics that we will develop in and that we have within us. And if you look at 1 John 3 verse 9, it says, "Whosoever is born of God." Are you born of God? If you're born of God, if you're born again, then you're born of God. "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed," that's God's seed, "remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God." You might say, well, I know that there are Christians who have sinned. And all of us indeed can say that as Christians, we have indeed sinned. But you see, it's talking about the new creature, the inner man, the spirit. And within you, the spirit cannot sin. And it's very, very important that the spirit will then cause you to go into the realm of holiness. And the Bible talks about being sanctified by the word of God and being transformed by the renewing of your mind. So there has to be work on your flesh, which is obviously not born again when you are saved, and your mind is not born again as well. And so your flesh and your mind have to be worked on. Your spirit, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Your spirit is born again, and that has the complete characteristics of no sin. And so therefore, what should happen in your life, and you know it, is that sin becomes a very detestable thing in your life, and you start to go through what is known as the sanctification process, being sanctified in God. That means separated from sin and its hold on you. Well, let's explore this a bit more. Verse 9 tells us, "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his sin remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God." If you go forward to chapter 5, the first bit of verse 18, 5:18, we know, it says here, "We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not." So, whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Sin is not the way we go. We are no longer servants of sin. And this is something we'll look at in a minute. We're no longer servants of sin. What are we servants of? Righteousness. Righteousness. We're now got within us a great desire to serve righteousness, to serve God. A great desire within us. So you will have noticed, if you've been truly born again, you will have noticed that the things of the world start to get dim. The things of sin become detestable to you, and you don't want to go that way. Even though there's a great pull, the Bible talks about the tempter and so on, there's a great pull, you still have this desire not towards darkness, but towards righteousness, towards God, towards truth. And I think every born-again Christian knows that when your heart has been changed, your desire becomes towards the things of God. And you want to do what God wants you to do. Even though there is the pull, as I said, of sin on people. Let's explore this a bit further. Go to John chapter 3, verses 19 to 21. Now I'm going to spend all this time on this one characteristic because it's so very important that we see that this characteristic really does differentiate greatly between those who aren't born again and those who are. Because those who aren't born again, well, you know, they don't like fellowship. They don't love the Word of God. They don't love the truth. They don't walk in the truth. They don't love the people of God, etc., etc. And notice what it says in John chapter 3, verses 19 to 21. It says here, "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men..." Notice the word "loved" there. "Loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." So if I was to ask you as a Christian, do you love darkness? What would you say as a new creature in Christ? "No, I do not love darkness." And that's what I would expect. But there is the reality that you don't love darkness. Because you can easily say those words. But is the reality that you don't love darkness? Is it that you're looking back at the world and you're saying, oh, what a juicy, beautiful banquet that is? Or are you saying, what a great mess and horrible thing it really is, and what a terrible situation the world is in without Christ? And certainly that's the way you should be thinking, isn't it? Notice what it says in verse 20. "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." Now verse 21 is what our desire should be. "But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." Now, we should realise that if you're a born-again Christian, your heart's desire is to come towards the Lord, towards light, towards the Word of God, towards the people of God, towards the way of God. You should love light, not darkness. And so that should be something which is very, very clear within you. Have a look at Romans 6. And we'll look at a few verses in Romans 6 because it's a key section of Scripture, this one. Romans 6, verses 6 and 7. And we talked about the old man. The old man is the old inner man. Okay, the old inner man. And it says in verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not, what? Serve sin. You shouldn't be serving sin. And as a born-again Christian, you know that your desire is not to serve sin. Okay? And notice what it says in verse 7. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now the word dead means separated or cut off. It doesn't mean extinguished. Okay? So if you're dead to sin, okay, if your inner man is dead to sin, then sin does not have the hold on you that it used to have. Can you see that? Sin no longer has the hold on you that it used to have. Now those who go out of Christ, who turn their back on Christ, obviously they can go into a situation when they completely fall away from Christ, and have a guess what? They start to love darkness. The Bible says that the backslider in heart is filled with his own ways, not God's ways. So they start to love darkness. They start to love the things that aren't of God. And that, of course, will only lead you to hell. But those that are new creatures in Christ, as you can see here, you are dead to sin. You used to be dead in trespasses and sins, but now you're dead to sin, you're separated from sin, and you're freed from sin. You're freed from sin. Okay? So that means that as you go further and further in your Christian life, you should be becoming more and more developed in your sanctification, in holliness, in being able to resist temptation, etc. It shouldn't be, oh, I will justify that sin. No, it should be, I will open up my life more and more to God so that he can have more and more his way in my life. Can you see the idea here? Very important. Let's continue on. Start from verse 11 of Romans 6. Now, we could spend many sermons just on Romans 6 alone, and we've talked a lot about Romans 6 over the years. But let's look at starting for verse 11. It says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So you've got to reckon yourselves, see yourselves, understand yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. You're cut off from sin. You're cut off from sin. Okay? But alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So if I was to ask you, as a born-again Christian, do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you want to serve him? Do you want to do his will? What would your answer be? Would it be, no, I don't? Or, yes, I do. And my life will reflect that, because you'll reckon yourself to be alive. Alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 12 says, let, and it's a commandment, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Okay, so obviously Christians can let, in their flesh, in their mortal body, they can let sin reign. It's a dangerous situation, because that can lead you away from Christ, as I said before. You could also let your mind run away, so that you're meditating on all the wrong things rather than on godly things. But the Bible tells us that you need to have your mind renewed. You need to be transformed. But see, we have a commandment here. And the commandment here is very clear in verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. So you've got to deal with it. You've got to take authority over that. You sometimes have to say to your flesh, no, you're not doing that. You're not doing that. And certainly people that come into Christ, they might get born again, they might have habits hanging on them. Let's take the habit of smoking, for example. They might have that habit hanging on. Well, they need to start to come against that in their flesh. And they can do that by not allowing sin to reign in their mortal body. Verse 13 says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but, and this is a commandment, yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. These are commandments from God. You have to do the yielding. You have to yield yourself and your members, you're obviously talking about your body here, your members, as instruments of righteousness unto God. That means that God can use you. God can use you, and God can allow you to do things for him. Verse 14, this is a good confession that we can say. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. We can say, thank you, Lord. Sin shall not have dominion over me. Sin shall not have dominion over me, because I'm born of the Spirit. And in me, I have that seed of God, which cannot sin, and therefore I am free from sin. But you know, this is one of the things which the devil will try to attack you, will try to say, well, you've just fell down there. But the Bible tells us that we can go to the Lord Jesus Christ. We can go to God. Just keep your finger in Romans 6 there, and just go across to 1 John chapter 1. We know this well, but it's a good one to refresh our memory with. 1 John chapter 1. And we'll look at start from verse 6. Now, this is talking to Christians, this scripture. These scriptures here in 1 John chapter 1, starting from verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Okay? But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So if you say that, if you're doing the wrong thing and then you say, oh, I'm not sinning, you're deceiving yourself. But verse 9 and 10 is the key. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So it's clear that you can't cover things up, and you shouldn't cover things up. And if you do fall, you get up, and you confess your sin, get cleansing, ask for God to forgive you, and to cleanse you from unrighteousness, and you will be cleansed. But you've got to do it. You can't just hide it. You can't just say, oh, well, then, you know, that's okay, it doesn't matter. Well, yes, it does, because like a bit of filth coming into your life, you want to get that filth out of the way, and it can affect your blessing. Don't justify sin. Don't justify it. Don't allow it, as the Bible says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Don't yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. So go back to Romans chapter 6 again, because we haven't quite finished here. Verse 14, we looked at here, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then, shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey? That word yield is very, very important, isn't it? It's a key word. You can yield yourselves to the wrong thing, but God wants you to yield yourself to him. Verse 16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whereof sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were, past tense, isn't it? Ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart. So it's a heart thing. It's a spiritual thing, that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. So there's the change, isn't it? You were servants of sin, but now you're free from sin. There's been a change on the inside of you, and now you've become a servant of righteousness. So within you, there should be this great desire to serve and to serve God and to be a servant of righteousness. There should be this desire within you not to go out and commit sin, but to commit righteousness, to do the right thing in God, in other words. So that's a key verse, verse 18. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. You became new creatures in Christ, didn't you? You were born again. You were made free from sin. And so as you walk in the sanctification process, as you are sanctified, then you should be getting better and better in the Lord. You should be getting more and more free from sin and its shackles. You know, we're living in a filthy, spiritually filthy world. And it's easy to become tainted by it if you're not on your guard. And you've got to be on your guard. There's words flying around all over the place, coming from the media and books and all types of things, from other people, etc. All anti-God stuff. Well, you know, it's a good place to come to the house of God and to get the cleansing of the water of the Word of God, isn't it? It's a good place to get yourself built up. And of course, that's one of the reasons why we do come to church. But go back to John 17, verse 17. Because we've been talking about this whole area that we don't commit sin. We're free from sin. And we should be people that our whole desire and love is towards the light, towards the ways of God, towards righteousness, towards God Himself. And John 17, look at verse 17 there. John 17:17. How do you become a cleansed continually, separated from sin, so that its hold on you is weakened and then comes to nothing? Verse 17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So remember that word sanctify. Sanctify. It's a process of being separated from sin and separated unto God and holiness. It's where you've got to walk in the ways of the Lord. And I believe that this is very much connected to the fear of God. The fear of God being within us. You know, the Bible talks about, and you can read it in Romans 1, for example, that those who aren't born again, there is no fear of God in them. But the fear of God must be in you, and we'll define the fear of God in a minute. The fear of God must be in you if you are to display that characteristic of not habitually sinning. Look at Galatians 5, verse 16. Galatians 5, 16. Now, this is important for Christians, this scripture, because it shows how you can be free from from fulfilling the lusts of the flesh and free to do what God wants you to do. And it's a simple thing, and yet very profound as well, because within it there is a lot of things. And the way of the Spirit, the way of God, is to lead you in the paths of righteousness, in the ways of truth. And Galatians 5 verse 16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, capital S, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So how do you get to the stage where you're not fulfilling the lust of the flesh? Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Let me emphasize that. Walk in the Spirit. Okay? Walk in the Spirit. And that means to be spiritually minded. Obviously, you've got to have your mind renewed. And to yield your members as instruments of righteousness. You've got to make a conscious yielding. Say, I yield my members to be instruments of righteousness. I reckon myself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ my Lord. Praise the Lord. So walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not, this is the promise, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We'll look at Acts 10, verse 35. Acts 10, 35. Here we see, and we will look at it in more detail now, about the fear of the Lord. And of course, the fear of the Lord is a heart attitude, and it's a heart attitude that speaks to how you view sin and how you view the things that are against God. Acts 10, verse 35, notice what it says here. But in every nation, he that feareth him, it's talking about God, and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Okay? So it's a very clear statement here. In every nation, now that's every nation on earth, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him, with God. So people that are accepted with God, and that means that they've been born again, they fear God and they work righteousness. These are key characteristics, aren't they? Fear God, and obviously fearing God is reckoning your soul to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we'll see that by looking at the biblical definition of the fear of God. Have a look at the biblical definition of the fear of God in Proverbs 8, verse 13. Proverbs 8, verse 13. Now remember what I said before. Do you love the light, or do you love darkness? Do you hate darkness? Do you hate evil? Or do you hate the light? Because the Bible says if you hate the light, you don't come to the light. But of course, if you're a born-again Christian, a new creature in Christ, you love the light. You want to come to the Lord. You want to be a partaker of the things of God, of the truth of God, etc. And we're looking at Proverbs 8. Verse 13. Very clear scripture here. It says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And then it's got a colon after it. And it gives a list. It says, pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward, which means rebellious, mouth, do I hate. This is a good hatred. This is something you should hate, is evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Not just be indifferent to it, but to hate it. To hate it. You should hate pride, for example. You should hate arrogancy. You should hate the evil way. You should hate the froward mouth, the rebellious mouth. You should hate it. So the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. That's the definition of the fear of the Lord. And that means that born-again Christians will have the fear of the Lord in them. They will hate evil. They will hate darkness. They will not love the world. In fact, the Bible talks a lot to Christians about not loving the world. They will not love the world. This is why I'm so against any compromise in the church with the world. Okay? And so the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Hate evil. Look at 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. We've just got a couple more scriptures I want to go through. And I know I've given you a lot of scriptures today, but it's very, very important that this is covered in detail. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. So, you know, more and more I'm seeing that when you meet up with people that are far from God and they say, well, you know, I used to go to church, but, you know, all the churches are full of hypocrites. Hey, stop! Stop! That's a lie. All the churches are not full of hypocrites. That's a lie from the devil. Stop! when they start to say things like that, start to justify their sin, etc., etc., etc. 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1. You know, born-again Christians will love the church. They will love God. They will love the truth. They will love light. They will love the ways of God. And that's what it says in 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. How do you perfect holiness? In the fear of God. What's the fear of God? What's the fear of the Lord? To hate evil. To hate evil. What do we have to do? We have to take hold of the promises of God and let us cleanse ourselves through the promises of God, through the Word of God, from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. You know, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. And the world is full of filthiness, and that's where the filthiness is coming from, isn't it? Okay? So we don't yield to it, but what we do is we perfect holiness in the fear of God. In the fear of God. And the last scripture I just want to cover is in Hebrews 12, verse 28. Hebrews 12, verse 28. So we've been looking at the characteristic today of no habitual sinning. And with that, that means that you reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin. You're free from sin. But you love God. You love light. You hate evil. But you love good. You love the truth. And in Hebrews 12, verse 28, we'll finish with this one. It says, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. So God wants us to serve Him acceptably. And we do that with reverence and godly fear. You know, when I talk with those that are backslidden, a lot of them justify their sin and they're very irreverent in the way they speak about God. They almost talk about God as though He's the enemy, though He's done the wrong things. Well, that person, I'll tell you now, is not accepted with God, is not born again. They need to repent and be born again, come to the Lord Jesus Christ afresh. Some of them, it's impossible to get them to repent because they've trodden on the blood of Christ, and that's not a good thing. So let me just read verse 28 again. Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. So you should be linking yourself into that kingdom continually, shouldn't you? Let us have grace. That's God's enabling. Whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Let's close in prayer today. Father, we praise You and thank You. We thank You, Lord, for Your liberating power that You have invested in us, power to be free from the shackles of sin. We thank You that we are alive unto God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We praise You for that, Lord. And we love You, Lord. We love You, Lord. We declare our love for You. We love the light. We love the truth. We love the church. We love the people of God. We love You, Lord. We love You, Lord. And we put You first in our lives. And we thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.